One, two, three, Rush, go live. We are rushing. It is a busy day. I know it's a busy day, and I know, somewhere in the back of my brain, I know it's going to be a busy day sometimes because I wake up extra early. Normally I set my alarm at 5 a.m. because that's just what we do here. I go to bed very early. And this morning it's like 4:30. Time to get up, time to get up. Stuff happening. Need to talk about stuff. Need to check emails. Oh. You know, good morning. Thanks for joining. I caveated today when I put the tweet out just before saying this was going to be massive because as I sat there this morning and I started jotting down the things, I don't actually just start this morning. I jot stuff down during the week. What's going to be interesting? And I realized there's so many things that have drawn so much of my attention. Probably should do it in order. I'll do it in the order that I listed it on. Because one of them follows on from last week, which is interesting. Evening, Wayne. Thanks for joining. PC Tattletale. Now, we discussed PC Tattletale last week, and we spoke about the fact that it was, what's the right word to use? Because I think stalkerware, they don't like that much. So let's use stalkerware. It is stalkerware. It was stalkerware. Let's go and pull the story on this. So when I was discussing it last week, I was explaining that stalkerware is this class of software which is meant to run surreptitiously on the victim's, it's probably not nice to call them victim, on the victim's device. It's meant to run on the victim's device so they don't know it's there. And the argument is often made that the victim is either someone who works for you, therefore you own their ass anyway and you can stalk them, or the victim is your child. Same answer. You own their ass. You can stalk them. And this is where it gets shady AF and the outcome today seems to have been a reasonable one. You can use it on your partner to surreptitiously stalk them. I'm sure I spoke. Did I speak about this last week? I'm wondering. Oh, I must have. I didn't even make notes for last week. Anyway. The partner bit is where it's shady as, and we know that there have been many, many cases of jilted lovers stalking the other one or suspicious lovers stalking the other one. And that could be anything from chucking air tags into their things so you can see where they go through to installing what ultimately amounts to malware on their PC or their mobile device to see the messages that they're sending, the things that they're looking at, the web pages, the places that they're going, photos that they're taking, basically anything that is going on in their life. And just yesterday, I was doing some media because we've got this case down in Australia where a lady disappeared, I think in about January or February. She's just completely disappeared. No one's been able to find a trace of her. Someone's been arrested for what they believe is a murder, but they haven't found her. But they found the phone yesterday, and the phone is there in the mud next to a dam. And the question the media had yesterday is like, well, what information is on a phone? It's like, well, what information is on your phone, mate? Like, you think about it, your entire life is on your phone, whether it's on the phone or the phone is in the gateway to all of the other things that you do in your life or the online services. So phones are enormously personal devices. So PC Tattletale was a stalkerware app, just like Spyphone, just like all of the other things before it, which is designed to be undetectable on the device because you don't want your victim finding out, right? But where they were a little bit different, and this is what really fascinates me. Most spyware is like, don't use this to spy on your lover without their knowledge. Use this to monitor your children to stop them from being bullying. You know what I mean. And they're kind of cagey about it. PC Tattletale is just like, YOLO, no, you can track your partner. And I want to explain what I mean by that because it sounds like a little bit of a throwaway line. I feel like I didn't talk about this last week. When did it go into Have I Been Pwned? Let's have a look at Have I Been Pwned. Who else is here? JF, good evening. Patrick, good morning. Christian, evening. Isn't that wonderful? The way we're just spread out around the world. Oh, there you go. That was the one. PC Tattletale. I put that in on the 26th. I hadn't spoken about this. All right, well, this makes it even more fun. Right. Everything I've said so far is still relevant. I'm going to just go down to the PC Tattletale value proposition. I think that's a reasonable way to put it. Okay. All right, so during the week, I put this data into HaveIBeenPwned. So 139,000 email addresses, 100 gigabytes worth of data. Now, someone had sent me an email about this, and they said, hey, have you noticed that PC Tattletale, the website, has been defaced? Now, there's defacements and there's defacements. This defacement included posting links to 20 different archives of data from the website that you could download. So imagine you've got all the stalkery stuff going on against employees, kids, partners, and then all the data just gets dumped on the stalkery website. And that's what happened here. Now, what's really interesting about this is that this is all happening, let's say earlier this, when was May 26th? Was it the weekend? That's a blur at the moment. Yeah, it was. So Sunday 26th, I loaded it in. Now, this came on the back of an article from Zach Whitaker at TechCrunch, and Zach had written about how someone had found that a whole bunch of checking computers at booths around the US on Wyndham hotels were running PC Tattletale. Now, it's not clear whether it was the hotel that installed PC Tattletale or someone else who had gotten onto the machine and installed it, but it was on the machines being used to monitor stuff that's being put on the device. Someone had discovered this because they found vulnerabilities in PC Tattletale that disclosed a whole bunch of information about where the services were running. And then the headline here was the hotels. Now, this story went out on the 22nd of May, so that's 9 days by my clock. And as part of the story, somewhere in here, they talk about just not being able to get in touch with the organization. So it's the usual sort of data breach disclosure thing. Hey, you got vulnerabilities. You really should look into them, and you just get crickets. Now, because this person couldn't get in touch with them and then it turned into a story, it seems that a person that is not necessarily the first party that tried to do the right thing, I think in all likelihood it's a different party, otherwise you could have just gone full disclosure straight away. Different party has found it, defaced it, dumped all the data on it. So that's happened. Obviously, the organization knows that they've been breached now because their entire website has just been turned into a white page with download links. And what they've put here at the top of the web page is they've said, unfortunately, PC Tattletale have ignored Zach and I's attempts at contacting them to fix the issues. So I can't give any more details here to avoid encouraging abuse of vulnerability. Hopefully the stalkerware authors can be bothered to fix the issue soon, at which point I can give a full write-up. Daigle is the person who did the original research and tried to report it responsibly. Said he attempted to warn PC Tattletale of the issue, but the company has not responded and the flaw remains unfixed at the time of publication. Daigle disclosed limited details of PC Tattletale's leaking screenshots bug in a short blog post without providing specifics so as not to help bad actors take advantage of the flaw, which inevitably didn't work out so well. Oh. Going to my Nathan's here, g'day. Patrick says, was also source code, which some smart folks will find vulnerabilities, and now, well, it doesn't really matter because they're dead. That was a bunch of code in there as well. G'day, Francis. Thank you for joining there. Right, so anyway, it goes on. I've got all this in the thread. I've put a screen cap of the links here. Now, this was after the website went offline, and one of the fascinating things about this, I wanted to put the data breach out earlier, but the website was up with the defacement and all of the downloaded files for probably about 24 hours. So the files here are like pctattletale.tar.gzip. They're all tar.gzip. Manufacturer, API dev, WizPress. So a whole bunch of stuff in there, about 100 plus gigabytes worth of data once it was decompressed. The vast bulk of it was just logs that showed connections. Now, the connections, I can't recall if they had any sort of client identifier on them, but they had IP addresses on them, so you'd know whether, well, I assume they're outbound IP addresses. So all that's in there. Now, I've written up in the blog post there's three classes of target I just explained before, the employee, the kids, and the lover. And the thing that really fascinates me, like I was saying just a bit earlier on when I started getting on my high horse, is most of these stalkerware apps are very explicit about using it for purposes where there can be legitimate use. So if, for example, you run it on your PC's machines and you let your employees' machines and you let them know, look, we have monitoring software for, you know, sometimes valid reasons. We put it on our kids because we're worried about them being, but I think that's a shitty idea. There's lots of good native parental controls and all of the big OSs. But regardless, you do literally own their asses and you can do that stuff as a parent. Don't do that as a parent, by the way. Don't do it. Use the native stuff. It's the spouse spying stuff that's the problem. So most of these more legitimate shady stalkware ones don't talk about the spouse, or they have caveats around only use it with consent or things like that. PC Tattletale is like, screw that, like, let's just go. And I give you some examples here. So I've got a video here where they've said, this is a promotional video, in over one third of marriages, one or both partners admit to cheating. And then they go on, is your spouse being unfaithful? And then they follow that up with how PC Tattletale secretly makes videos of everything they do and records their every move. How stupid are you? Like, it is, not only is it like morally reprehensible, but it's just outright illegal in many places. Somewhere in this thread, I think I made a mention of the FTC shutting SpyPhone down, or saying SpyPhone couldn't install. Anyway, FTC going to town on SpyPhone. Now, these guys go on. The CEO has a video here. Now, this video is about 7 years old. And arguably, we're more aware of this now. But what he says in here, he says, maybe you've got a spouse you're worried about. You don't think they're being honest. And then he goes on and says, it'll show you everything they're doing on the computer. Like, he's not even sugarcoating it. It's just profoundly stupid. So it was marketed as spouse stalkerware. But what does the data say? Because now we've got the data. We can look at what's in the data. There is a table in this breach called iOS_SMS. And you never guess what it has. It's like SMSs. Now, of course, I go looking for the things that I think are going to be most interesting. And what I was particularly interested in is, are there records in the data that support the fact that this was clearly intended, in part at least, to be used for stalking spouses? Now, there's a bit in here which says, one of these SMSs, oh my God, thank you. I know he is cheating. I just need better proof. Okay. Someone else in here is chatting to support. Good morning. I have a question. What's com.avi.sc base? I see that in my husband's activity history. Now, this is a chat with support. At this point, support's sort of gone, do you have your husband's consent to monitor his every movement on the device? But no, they say, that is the PC Tattletale monitoring engine. Send me a screenshot. What you're seeing, I'm curious. Oh. So, it's up there in the writing. Now, language warning, because I do look, as I said, I do look for interesting things. Another bit here. The data contains a table called computers, which appears to be, this is my tweet thread, appears to be devices being monitored, including the host name, the OS, and a user-provided nickname. In one instance, someone's Samsung was nicknamed Lying Fucker, which I assume explains the spyware. The member's business table appears to be collected on sign-up and it includes a column titled Biggest Problem. Now, my interpretation of this is that when you're signing up for the software, you go, what's my biggest problem that I'm trying to solve by getting the stalkerware? The word cheat appears 980 times in that table. And there are messages of this style. This is one of the actual messages, copy and paste. Need to know if my fiance is doing the right thing. I think he may be fucking up again. Now, in my tweet thread, I have the spy phone mentioned as well. So the FTC did ban the company from running that software, which is good news. Right. So anyway, I had to wait until all of that got taken down before putting on a Have Your Own Part. Now, having said that, if it was still up there, I think I'd get to the point where I just need to load it anyway. But it just felt like a small window. And I just have to make these judgment calls. Small window, let it get taken down. And it was wild because I just keep watching. It's like, when's it going to get taken down? What's going on? Part of the way through, this is, I swear I'm going to put this in a talk one day. I'll save the video. Part of the way through, I just need to read the image here. The website, the defaced website, got updated. Here's the update. The update is on top of a video. The video is screen grabs. The update says, footage of PC Tattletale creator Brian Fleming attempting to restore this website while infected with his own spyware. So he has his own spyware running on his machine, which is capturing him in FileZilla trying to FTP PHP files back up to the defaced website. But because all of the data which is being collected by the spyware is available publicly, someone gets that and then updates the website that he's trying to fix and just posts his entire video with him infected with the spyware, which is just chef kiss. I saved that video offline. Now, it does raise another interesting issue. All of the 100-odd gigabytes was just text data. There were some files and some code, as I mentioned earlier on. So where did the screen grabs come from? Now, when we say video, they're screen caps, but they're pieced together and they're screen capped, I don't know, every 10 seconds or something like that. Where did that come from? I couldn't say this at the time because it was still open. But at one point, one of the APIs was obviously returning credentials for an S3 bucket. Someone found the credentials and either they set this configuration or the configuration was already there, but they made the S3 bucket show a directory listing and they made every file public. Someone sent me a link to that at around about the time that I published the data to Have I Been Pwned, and I was like, oh shit, like I can't say anything about that. So I didn't say anything about that, but I was just sitting there looking at this directory listing going, I wonder how long this is going to be open for. And from memory, it was at least a couple of days, just with all of these recordings sitting there publicly facing. So eventually that did get taken down. Now, that brings me to this morning, and I'd just completely forgotten that I hadn't spoken about this last week because it was not a thing yet. The headline here, spyware firm out of business after data leaked on own site by hacker. The company, which advertises itself as an employee and child monitoring service and spouse monitoring service, don't short sell them, is consumer-grade spyware or stalkware app that allows users to monitor other devices by seeing screenshots of victim Android or Windows PC. Did not do iOS. Programs like PC Tattletale can be used for nefarious purposes. That's literally what they promoted it to do, such as monitoring victim devices to collect data or snooping on spouses without consent. Anyway, it goes on here. There's a Have I Been Pwned mentioned in there as well. Additionally, the hacker said the program servers could be fooled into handing over Amazon Web Services private keys. With this, the hacker was able to access the Amazon S3 storage used by PC Tattletale and the 300 million screenshots stored on it. The hacker did not disclose the reasoning for the attack. I can guess, particularly given that they weren't asking for money or anything. I can just pausing, still a criminal act. Just putting it out there. As much as we don't like the service, but I can guess the reasoning. Speaking with TechCrunch, company founder Brian Fleming said that he is now unable to access the Amazon Web Services account. That smells like bullshit, doesn't it? Like he lost access and he can't get it back, and Amazon's just going, no, you can't have your keys back. Or like we've gone from everyone being able to access it to no one being able to access it. He's quoted, I deleted everything because the data breach could have exposed my customer. Could have? What are you doing, mate? Like it did. The account is closed. The servers are deleted. Fleming did not explain why the data was deleted without customers first being notified, and he added that he did not keep a copy of the data. I bet you someone else has. I mean, of the screen grabs. I don't have a copy of the screen grabs. I have copies of what was posted publicly. I do not go into places like that and take data out. My own moral compass there. TechCrunch said he then stopped responding to inquiries. Oh, boy. I do feel sympathetic, of course, for the victims, especially those who may be in relationships that are abusive. People are tracking what they do. Like, that's just, yeah. Well, you imagine yourself in those shoes, right? Being the victim of something like that. That's pretty wild. Patrick says, way back when, there was a way to get it after the fact. I can't remember which one that was about. Anyway, Philip, sorry, was late watching YouTube video. I am late. How I Met Your Data from NDC. Did I do that? Yeah, I think I did that. I am so eyeball deep in the opening keynote for NDC Oslo, which is now in less than 2 weeks, and, of course, the 3D printing talk with Elle. It is 1 week today that we head off to Europe, so I am on an absolute countdown. And then people keep getting hacked, and I've got to spend all my time dealing with data breaches, which is not what I expected. All right. Things that weren't being expected this, in fact, the last three things on this list weren't expected this week. Operation Endgame. Now, I wrote about this yesterday, and this is a very, I would say, pleasing outcome for all involved. So when I started Have I Been Pwned, I didn't expect it to do anything particularly useful or become particularly important. Otherwise, I wouldn't have given it such a stupid name. But you know how hard it was to get a domain name even then, let alone now. If you want the .com, it's very hard. So anyway, I think everyone's got a fair idea of the history. And then over the course of time, it's become an increasingly important thing. Lots of people use it, lots of support from governments and law enforcement and things like that. And every now and then, a law enforcement agency pops up and says, look, we've got a bunch of data that we would like to try and make more broadly searchable so that victims are able to learn of their exposure. Now, the likes of the FBI, the NCA in the UK, our own AFP here, we don't tend to pop up and just start sending emails to victims of data breaches or malware because how that... Look, imagine you get an email, excuse me, and it's like, we're the FBI. You've been in a data breach. Are you sure? Are you really the FBI? It looks kind of shady. And interestingly, time and time again, when I've spoken to organizations or law enforcement agencies around the world, that's the position. It's like, this is just not something we do. So they rely on services like Have I Been Pwned to be able to provide the data. And they've done this many times before. Genesis Market last year, Emotet Botnet a few years ago, a bunch of others that I probably have in a tag somewhere. This week, Operation Endgame. Now, there is a dedicated website for this, and I've commented before that law enforcement agencies have really upped their branding game of late. Operation-endgame.com. Oh, is there a new video here? I'll have to watch that in a moment. So Operation Endgame. So more and more information in there about what happened. It's a series of different botnets that have been taken down. These botnets, there's a good write-up actually in, let me find the Europol press release here. It's a good write-up here that explains things like droppers. It explains that droppers are themselves malicious software that are run on infected machines, but they may not do anything nasty on their own, but they then become the gateway for other software. So you end up with all of these infected machines with droppers, which may be anything from malicious files being sent via email. It might be phishing sites that lure you in. It might be other social engineering attacks that get people to run these droppers, install on the machine, and now they form part of the botnet. That can then be rented out to people who want to do things like drop their malware on the infected machine. Malware is often things like ransomware. We all know what ransomware is. We all know the impact of that. So you end up with these massive networks, these botnets of malicious software that are being controlled centrally, that are in the hands of a relatively small number of people doing their evil cyber things. Now, we've got this coalition of law enforcement agencies. And if we look at the press release here, let's make sure everybody gets mentioned. Where did they list them? All the logos are there, but they're small. Maybe it's on the Europol one. Headline here is good too. Largest ever operation against botnets hits drop and malware ecosystem. Now, where's the... No, the Dutch are certainly part of this. The Dutch, Dutch really get up in the cyber things. Here we go. This is the largest ever operation against botnets, which plays a major role in the deployment of ransomware. The operation, initiated and led by France, Germany, and the Netherlands, was also supported by Eurojust and involved Denmark, the United Kingdom, and the United States. In addition, Armenia, Bulgaria, Lithuania, Portugal, Romania, Switzerland, and Ukraine also supported, which is fantastic. And then they go on as well. The operation was also supported by a number of private partners at national and international levels, including Bitdefender, CryptoLamus, Sequoia, Shadow Server, Team, Seaway, MRU, ProDraft, Proofpoint, NFIR, CompuWest, Northwest, Fox IT, Have I Been Pwned, Spamhaus, DivD, Abuse.ch, and Zscaler. You may know it as Zscaler. So Have I Been Pwned gets mentioned, which is really, really cool. And I'll tell you what, like a decade ago when I started this, I was not expecting to have I Been Pwned appear on a Europol announcement in a good way. it's not that it's ever done bad things, but it's always lived lived in this space where it's dealing with breached data. So the law enforcement agencies have provided a whole bunch of data, which we only really got about a day and a half ago. Obviously, all of this stuff sits under embargoes. They want to make a big announcement of it. Everything was coordinated to go out in time just under 24 hours ago now. The data consisted of 16.5 million email addresses and 13.5 million passwords. So all those email addresses went into Have I Been Pwned. 4.5 million of them had not been seen in our service before, which is about right. I mean, that's about 72% previous hit rate. So 72% of those addresses already in there. 25,000 of our subscribers were in there. We've got almost 5 million subscribers now. 25,000 of the 16.5 million email addresses are in there, which is actually very, very low. And I suspect it speaks more to the fact that the victims, I'm speculating here, the victims are probably more likely to be less technical people, whereas Have I Been Pwned has probably got a more technical following, and particularly when we see data breaches of a more, of a nature where people like you and I are going to sign up, we see hit rates up to about 1% of the corpus subscribers. So that would have been 165,000 would be 1%. At only 25,000, that's, yeah, it's, what's that, 0.2% or something like that. Anyway, 20,000 domain subscribers as well. So we sent 20,000 emails to people that are normally people monitoring corporate domains saying, hey, you've got some email addresses in there. Flagged is subscription free. So we put a subscription model around domains for the big ones in August last year. Anything that comes from law enforcement, we make sure doesn't require a subscription at all. So it's as accessible as possible. And then, of course, the passwords. So 13.5 million passwords, 8.9 million of them were already in Have I Been Pwned. They have had their counts updated. So if you're using Pwned passwords, I wonder what our stats look like, actually, from yesterday now. Let's see. If you're using Pwned passwords and you're using the API, 8.9 million of passwords that you might already search for get slightly updated counts on them. And then there's, what does that make it? Several million new passwords that have not been seen before at all. The traffic to Pwned passwords still pretty steady. And I think the reason why that is, so 307 million requests in the last 24 hours. Then the reason why that is most of the use cases for Pwned passwords are direct integrations into services that are hitting the Knanonymity API. And just by virtue of loading a whole bunch more data, it doesn't change the number of times people are logging in, registering, or changing their password on those services, which is actually good. I don't really want to, I don't care about spikes in traffic because Cloudflare just serves it all, But I don't really want to see new stuff go in and then a massive spike, which implies that people are then just downloading all of the data and keeping it offline, and they only get the value of new passwords every time they go into what is ultimately a manual process. So that ongoing continuous scanning of passwords, good job. 320 edge nodes around the world Cloudflare has now, and every one of them is somewhere close to pretty much any data center that's going to be calling Have I Been Pwned's APIs, which is cool. Joe's here. Thank you. We're waiting for you. Joe, sorry for being late. Now, in the realm of things that screwed up my schedule this week, we knew Operation Endgame was coming. I just didn't know exactly when and how much time it would take. And in fairness, it really wasn't that bad. But you want to get it right, particularly when we're doing passwords too. And thank you to Stefan for pulling a pretty much an all-nighter for him to get the passwords done. So he's not here. I think he's in bed, which is good. Ticketmaster. Now, I comment so many times about my job. If I'm going to air quote that, my job in this industry, that one of the things I find fascinating about it, and if I'm honest, I quite enjoy, is I get up each day, like this morning, 4:30, and I sit out there and I get my coffee. It's dark, fireplace is on, it's nice. And I open my iPad and I've got no idea what I'm going to see, because every now and then, fairly regularly actually, I would say every week or two, something really weird and really interesting and really impactful has happened whilst I've been asleep. And that's what happened this week with Ticketmaster. It's also one of those things that has surprised me how much traction it's had. Excuse me. Let's go on to this. I've just seen that Joe has mentioned Santander. We'll talk about that if you like as well, because that is somewhat related to this. So Ticketmaster, everyone knows who Ticketmaster is. Ticketmaster is owned by Live Nation. Ticketmaster has had their own various cyber-related issues in the past, unrelated to this. The thing that's quite interesting with this is that, let's go and find my tweet thread here. Here we go. 2 days ago, there was a post on a popular hacking forum. I'm going to talk about this last thing today. A popular hacking forum, which has risen from the dead. Headline here is Live Nation / Ticketmaster 560 million users plus card details, 1.3 terabytes. Can I have $500,000, please? So it's been posted for sale. It's been posted for sale by Shiny Hunters. Shiny Hunters has some degree of notoriety in that they've been around for the last few years. Many different data breaches have appeared that are attributed to them. They are the ones who were allegedly responsible for the AT&T data breach, 2021, tried to sell the data. Not sure if they ever actually sold or not. We do know they dumped it publicly. A bunch of others, there's things like Tokopedia as well, which is in Have I Been Pwned. I was looking at the Wikipedia just yesterday, because I was doing all this media and I was like, what were the other ones I was responsible for? Wishbone, that's in Have I Been Pwned. Wattpad in Have I Been Pwned. Animal Jam, Have I Been Pwned. Mashable, I think, is there. Pixel Art, Nitro PDF, I'm pretty sure. Bonobos, and Mathway. And I didn't even bother. Oh, no, Aditya, that's in there as well. So all of these previous things that they've been responsible for. Now, having said that, before someone corrects me, apparently they are not the first party responsible for this Ticketmaster incident. Apparently it is another party, and now these folks are representing it or selling it or something to that effect. So let's actually go and have a look at where it's been posted, so I can read it in a little bit more detail. Anyway, while I'm loading that up, the thing that's quite fascinating about all this is that it just got a huge amount of press worldwide, including here in Australia. And I spent a lot of time yesterday doing radio and TV, the usual sort of film guy. So in case you're wondering, when you see a lot of TV stuff, whether it's me or someone else, and they're being interviewed in their office, what happens is it's usually one person who comes in with a massive camera and lights and all this other shit and audio gear, and they set up over there in the corner of the room, And then the reporter is very often in a completely different state, and they put the phone on the desk and the reporter answers or asks questions, and you talk not directly at the camera, but you talk over there, so it looks like you're actually talking to someone else, and that's the way the interview is done. And the whole thing is usually in and out within about 30 minutes. So that was what happened yesterday, and a lot of radio too, a lot of radio, which is interesting. Ticketmaster, let's have a look at this. So it just got a lot of attention. And people always ask, they're like, are there any Aussies in there? It's like, well, okay. First of all, Ticketmaster is very global. And if there are 560 million users in there, yes, there will be Aussies in there. So apparently a one-time sale, there's a whole bunch of folders that are listed here. Now, think about the challenges of the cyber criminal. They want to try and sell data. They also want to be anonymous. All that they have to trade on is reputation, which is defined by previous history. So this is why inevitably we see the likes of Shiny Hunters that is now running this forum that we're going to talk about in a moment, being the party selling this data. And they also need to provide some sort of a proof or evidence that the data is legitimate. So what they've done here is they've listed a bunch of folders. Just folder and size. Now, down the bottom, it sums up to 1.3 terabytes, which is the headline here. These folders are things like processed, CSV, sales, AUD, deluxe, HDR, 3, and then 7458296, a whole bunch of other things. And what this allegedly is a combination of customers' full names, which is the name, also the address, the email, the phone number, the ticket sales, the event information, the order details, the last four digits of the card, and the expiration date, and apparently some customer fraud details, and apparently much more, but not noteworthy enough to mention. They've then gone down and provided a data sample, which, how many rows is this? I'm going to guess and say it's a couple of hundred or something. Let's drop that into a Notepad window so we can get a count on it. Couple of hundred, 204 rows. Now, if I was to go and comma delimit this, incidentally, EM Editor I use quite extensively for this sort of stuff. Very good for opening very large files. Also, if you've got any sort of comma delimiter format, it can put it all in nice columns. And yeah, this is exactly what we're saying, what was alleged. So, looking through this, we've got, and this from a validation perspective is where it's going to be interesting. There's a column here called patron underscore LKUP underscore ID, and it has identifiers in it. This is the sort of thing that is really useful for Ticketmaster or any other breached organization to then reconcile against their own internal systems because they appear to be internal identifiers. Member DB underscore cust underscore ID, same again, sounds very much like an internal identifier. CRM email ID, ECDB customer ID, patron ID, and a whole bunch of other stuff in here, which one would imagine would be sufficient to validate that this data is actually legitimate. The fact it's come from Shiny Hunters, who has previous form as well, and also needs to maintain reputation, because reputation, it's a little bit like, well, this is real life, but you know what I mean, like IRL, where your reputation is something that is very hard to build up over time and can be very easily destroyed by one bad move. So as time passes, more and more confidence in the legitimacy of this. In the thread here, I've got a bit from VX Underground, which is interesting. Where are we? I think I put it in the thread here. Here we go. VX Underground. Today we spoke with multiple individuals privy to and involved in the alleged Ticketmaster breach. Sometime in April, an unidentified threat group was able to get access to Ticketmaster AWS instances by pivoting from a managed service provider. The Ticketmaster breach was not performed by Shiny Hunters Group. Shiny Hunters is the individual and or group which posted the auction of the data. They are acting as a proxy for the threat group responsible for the compromise. Based on data provided to us by the threat group responsible for the compromise, we can assert with a high degree of confidence the data is legitimate. Date ranges in the database appear to go back as far as 2011, however, some dates show information from the mid-2000s. Data shared with us includes everything I've just spoken about. Note, the data provided to us even as a sample was absurdly large and made it difficult to review in depth. We are unable to verify the authenticity of financial information. Briefly skimming the PII present in the dump, it appears authentic. So this is the theme that's coming through. There's one way we could figure this out, and that would be for Ticketmaster to say something. Has Ticketmaster, if anyone has seen Ticketmaster say something while I've been asleep, Ticketmaster breach, is there anything in the news? That's 16 hours ago. Nah, 29 minutes ago, allegedly hacked. It's a lot of allegedly here. Allegedly. The problem is, caveat, I'm not a lawyer. The problem is lawyers. The problem is when incidents like this happen, my view is always by not saying anything, you create a vacuum of speculation. And then speculation runs rife. There's lots of news articles in here where reporters have said, we've reached out for comment and didn't get a reply. So everyone tries to figure stuff out for themselves. Some of the stuff they figure out might be right. A bunch of the stuff they figure out or speculate is going to be wrong. And without comment and by creating a vacuum, disinformation prevails. So my view is always organizations need to get on the front foot. And every time I have to go through a disclosure, this is the advice I give the company. You're going to be in the news. If you don't have a position and if you don't make comments, people will fill in the gaps. Now, do you want to control the narrative or do you want to be a victim of the narrative? The bit about not being a lawyer is every time we see a major data breach, and like, let's just be clear, this would be, if there is 560 million individuals, this would be the most major of major data breaches, because what was MySpace? 300 something. MySpace was 359 million. So to go from, let's call it 360 million to 560 million would be a massive, massive, massive incident. It would be one of the largest in Have I Been Pwned. Now, the only ones that are larger are collections of data that are coming from multiple places or data aggregators, which are also really collections of data. It would be the single largest discrete data breach by a significant margin. The only other thing that even comes close is Facebook, which had 509 million records scraped from a vulnerable API. Not quite the same as having your data taken out of an unprotected AWS account somewhere. So the problem, getting back to the problem with lawyers, the problem with lawyers is that they know there are going to be class actions and legal action and all the rest of it. Now, I have a vehement disdain of that, and I've written about why in the past. Inevitably, they are hedging the organization to best position them to weather the storm of litigation, which will follow, to best position them to be able to cash in on that cyber insurance that they're paying so much money for, and ultimately to protect the company. And, you know, I guess this is kind of the goal, right? It's like protect the company. Are they public? Is Live Nation public? Live Nation share price. I'm always kind of interested in what happens. Ooh. They are public. Live Nation Entertainment. What has happened to them in the last, let's call it, this is substantial. See, this is interesting. Let's go 5 days. All right, so share price is basically exactly what it was 5 days ago. Like, nothing has really changed. It's down 8%, but not from any single great big drop. And in fact, if you look over the last 5 days, it's really done just about nothing, which again is one of the curious things. People say, it's going to destroy the company, maybe PC Tattletale. But very often data breaches result in very small changes in price over short windows, which then recover. Now, I'm trying to recall the exact chronology here, but when we think, when did I tweet that first? I think it was like, actually, when was this data posted? Data was posted for sale 28th. So that's 3 days. I don't know what time zone that is. Let's say about 2 days ago. You can certainly see a point here where the share price has dipped. It was, what was it? It closed at, let's call it $100, $99.77, and it's gone down to $88.45, and then it's come back up to $101. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe it has some impact. Regardless, data breaches are expensive exercises. And the priority of the organisation is to protect shareholders because they own the company. But it leads to lawyers doing lawyery things. Ragno Rokeroben, good evening from Norway. Nice to see a real Aussie boom alive. And if you come to NDC in Oslo week after next, you will see a real Aussie live at NDC. So, yeah, come along there. Now, Joe asked... Any views on Santander validity at this point? So, the party responsible for posting the Ticketmaster data, Shiny Hunters, has also popped up. I shared this tweet a little bit earlier on today, posting what they allege is Santander bank database. Shiny Hunters claims the data contains 30 million customers, it's a lot less than 560 million, 6 million account numbers and balances, 28 million credit card numbers, HR employee list and more, and they would like $2 million. So that's a lot of money. Any views on the validity of it? When I was talking about reputation before, Shiny Hunters has got a reputation of being a collective, assuming it's more than one person, that does have a history of executing data breaches that are what they say they are. Now, would they risk that reputation, which has taken years to build, by posting something which was fraudulent? Possibly not. Now, you could argue, well, what if this never happened, but they're posting it, and then they'll take it down in a few days from now and say, money was paid, thank you very much. But it never actually happened. It's possible. That is something that we would possibly discover via Santander themselves. So are we going to see a comment from them in the same way as we've seen no comment from Ticketmaster / Live Nation? But again, I would be very surprised if it was fraudulent and given to people, because you figure it out. The truth is always in the data. I like this saying. The truth is in the data. When you look at the data, eventually you work it out. That AT&T situation recently, a perfect example. The truth was always there in the data. And even though it wasn't immediately obvious, and even though they didn't acknowledge it, over the course of a few weeks, that truth came out. And that's what inevitably happens. So with this Live Nation stuff and also with Santander, that truth will come out at some point in time. I will be very surprised, though, if it is not what they've represented, given previous form. Okay. Milford's late. Thanks, Milford. Joe, the Australian government says it is working with Ticketmaster to address the issue. The FBI has also offered to assist. A spokesperson for the US Embassy in Canberra told agency France Presse. I did an interview with them yesterday, actually. Obviously, I didn't know about the Australian government stuff. I have seen those comments around agencies. I think there's one somewhere about the UK government working with Ticketmaster as well. It does give credence to the claim. You wouldn't think that the Australian government is working with Ticketmaster if there was not something to work on with them. But again, like, we're seeing nothing. We're hearing nothing. Now, that said, it is Friday, and people do like to bury bad news on a Friday. So maybe, it's Friday for me anyway, maybe over the next 24 hours, let's, gentlemen's bet, over the next 24 hours, we will hear a statement from Ticketmaster late on the Friday afternoon to bury it over the weekend. You heard it here first. Last thing on my list here, popular hacking forum resurrected. Now, I have gone back to calling it a popular hacking forum because I've avoided naming a particular location where data is constantly posted. If you go back through my previous weekly videos, I did talk about the forum that was shut down by the feds just recently, and it had replaced another one by the same name that was shut down by the feds. That had replaced another one of a different name that was shut down by the feds. There is a common theme here. I don't know if you can pick what it is. It has been resurrected. it is being run by Shiny Hunters, who I believe was responsible for running the last one that got taken down, along with someone who went by the handle of Baphomet, who apparently was arrested. Now, Hackreed's got a good story on it here. They do name the site, but I'm just going to avoid it. It's kind of an interesting thing here where the feds took control of the, and these are the American feds, the FBI, took control of the domain, and somehow Shiny Hunters managed to get the domain back and resurrect the website. And there's a thread in here where an email conversation that the FBI had to the registrar of the domain, which is effectively boils down to, it looks like they managed to get a court order. They created an account with this registrar. They took control of the domain. And now someone has somehow managed to get the FBI's account suspended and then taken back the domain. In a way, all of this is a little bit pointless because it's just a domain name. And they'll go and get another domain name. Plus, there's an onion address to it. Now, the feds did get control of that onion address, and apparently they still control that. But then folks go and get another onion address. You know, in a way, and this is not to say I don't agree with what the FBI has done. This is what has to be done. That's the right thing. But in a way, it's very much whack-a-mole. You know, they knock something offline, take it down, and then it just pops up somewhere else. I think to come full circle, though, looking at the Operation Endgame, definitely go and have a look at that website after this video and play the video as well. The messaging that we're constantly seeing from law enforcement is that we're up in a lot of your things. We have a lot of your information. They are making arrests. If you're in this game, now is a good time to either hand over some information or get out of the game. And I think that's actually really good advice. When we look at the likes of Shiny Hunter here, I'm sure it will just be a matter of time, and then we will see one or more arrests there, and then they will disappear, just as all these other groups have over the course of time. Like, you're on borrowed time, and it's just a question of when you get caught. When we look at things like the previous hacking forums and the way people get caught, very often it only takes one mistake. Looking at the way Pompompurin got caught earlier last year, it wasn't just one mistake. There were multiple mistakes on his behalf, including sharing his real-world email address with someone else in a chat window, and that obviously hasn't worked out well for him. So it's always just a matter of time. And there's this saying I like that we might sort of start to leave you with, which is around the fact that in many of our InfoSec discussions, one party has to get it right all the time and another party only has to get it right once. Now, think about us as defenders building systems. We have to get it right every single time, because if we make one mistake, then that can be the end of it. But it's the same for folks who are operating under the veil of anonymity, doing evil cyber things. You have to get it right every time. If you make one mistake, that VPN drops once and exposes your real IP address. You reuse one password that you've used somewhere else that might link to an identity. That one mistake, and there's a gazillion other ways I can make one mistake as well. That's just that one mistake that can bring you undone. And everyone thinking about this right now should also be thinking, have I already made that one mistake? You know, is it already too late? Could be. All right, folks, I'm going to wrap it up there. We've been going approaching an hour now. That was a big weekly update. A lot of stuff happening. Next week, I'm sure we'll talk about the acknowledgement of the Ticketmaster data breach, which we just discussed is going to happen tomorrow afternoon, your time for Europe. And we'll see. There will be more. There is actually something really, really, really major in terms of volume that I'm working on at the moment. I don't think so much in terms of impact, but in terms of volume, which I need to try and now go away and stop 3D printing stuff for a while and figure out whether it's noteworthy enough or not. So thanks very much for watching. I'll come back to you next week. I'm going to do it in the morning again next week, because I'm going to jump on the plane and head to Norway Friday afternoon next week. Cheers, folks.